say so. You don't respect me. Mm-hmm. You don't love me. Because deep inside, they don't respect themselves. Come back to the question you just mentioned. If you already put a lot of effort to train your staff, and then the staff come back with...
I would say dumb question.
Yes. When you inspire the others, you also can be very passionate and at the same time can be peaceful. The chance to transform or to change is there for us. But the point is that we see or not. We can change only we see. And we change what we can see only.
Welcome to Vietnam Rising Podcast, where we chase dreams and opportunities in Vietnam and also get real with challenges and reality. On this season of Vietnam Rising, I'm your host, Minh Tâm. And you and I, we will sit down with the shakers and movers in Vietnam to hear about their real stories and why Vietnam is still the place to be. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Vietnam Rising Podcast. And today is a very emotional episode. Our guest here today is a certified Search Inside Yourself teacher, which is a course about mindfulness for leaderships created by Google. She also worked for SCG for 30 years before become full-time with her institutions, with her friends in mindful living institutions, where they focus on bringing and coaching and teaching people, the Vietnamese community, about mindfulness and how to incorporate that into our life. Can you tell us more about what kind of course or what do MLI focus on?
I actually would like to restructure your word a little bit, because actually we don't teach mindfulness. We can say that mindfulness is a tool that normally appear in our courses, but we mainly train the mindfulness-based emotional intelligence for leaders, that is in the class, the Search Inside Yourself, or for parenting, in the mindful parenting, where the parent would be more aware of themselves and more be able to manage their emotion and their behavior in the relationship with the children.
And on this episode, Miss Ng and I, we are going to discuss, we're going to walk through all of the importance of mindfulness, self-awareness, and how's that important in leaderships, enriching your relationships in general. And specifically, we're going to talk about my relationship with my mom and how do we make it better? How do we reconnect from a disconnected relationship in general? So a lot of emotional, so brace yourself. There might be some tears as well. The relationship between the parents and the child, which will have bigger effect on the children. So from what you're saying, the common term people would usually call it like mommy or daddy issue, right? Like, for example, people say, whoever has daddy issue, they will be more kind of like, for girls, maybe insecure, they more relying to reach out to other men to find that security that they didn't have with their dad. And then for mother issue, it's kind of like the competitions or like detachment of feelings. If the mommy issue is like you don't receive that much love from the mom. So which would create a worse effect on the child?
I think that one is, it varies on every single person, you know. So I think the most important point for each of us is to look inside ourselves and then to listen and to see what,
where is that coming from?
At first is the what it is first.
Yeah.
What it is, and then when it happens, in which situation, and so on. And we just see it. I think that we we are trained to solve the problem
really
so much. But sometimes we just look at that and be aware of it first and be friendly with all the phenomena happening that we can see.
I see.
Yeah, we just see for a while before we go further to analyze too much or to take action too fast.
I see. But what if, because of how parents raise us, we kind of lean into toxic relationship? Because that's our definitions of care and love. How do someone aware of that? Aware of that habit and then help and then kind of change or react, like how to change the behavior.
Oh, that is the big issue. It's not easy. But I believe that starting with the awareness, it would help that person understand more about ourselves and also can pay more attention to what they are doing or what they are treated in that relationship. You know, if they fall in a toxic relationship, so that is very difficult for them to get out because all of the beliefs, all of the mechanism inside them pull them into that relationship, is it right?
Yes.
So all of that beliefs is very deep and very strong. Most of the case, I think even so heavy or so serious, maybe they need some therapist to help them. But self-awareness would help them to be aware that, am I treated fairly? Am I treated kindly? Am I treated the way that I deserve? Normally, if they have some problem inside them is might make them feel that they deserve nothing. They are nothing, right? So that would make them go into that direction. Means that easily fall into some toxic relationship where
bad
people don't respect them or don't really love them or even abuse them. But they are still happy in that. Why? Because something beneath that they cannot see. So once they are aware of all the phenomena in a new sight, they may start to see that, hey, I'm abused. But with that behavior previously, they don't feel that I am abused. It depends. It depends on the ability of that person, the resilience, how strong they can change once they can see. So I can say that the first step is to see.
You see
first. Be aware of it first. Because once you're aware of it, with the eyes that I told you, that very clear mind, that without any belief, without any knowledge or any expectation, you might see differently.
And I agree that it's very hard to find or differentiate the toxic relationship, because sometimes you are confused between the feeling of being loved and then also the maybe in behind your back, you're like, huh, maybe this is not right. But you kind of suppress that voice. So maybe awareness will help them to see that. So for those people who try to search for that, and maybe right now they are looking in a dark tunnel, can you shine a light on what are the elements of a healthy relationship so people could define it, or they can see it if those are exist in their current relationship?
I think a healthy relationship happens when you can be yourself. You don't need to wear a lot of mask to be loved. When you don't need to put a lot of effort to be loved. Or you don't feel so painful, so suffering in that relationship. I used to coach many young girls and boys, you know, and I noticed that some of them, you know, because of the low self-esteem, so they how to say they crush their lover.
They crush their lover.
They, how to say they
you can say it in Vietnamese. I'll help you with the
như
word.
Là đày đọa cái người.
Oh, they torture their lover?
Yeah, torture.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
they torture. Like in what sense?
Yeah, like they jealous so much.
Oh,
and mm-hmm. you should not do this, you should not do that, mm-hmm. you must be this, you must be that.
Yeah.
You know, or whatever the others say, they will, it would trigger the feeling of anger inside them.
Yeah.
How you say so? You don't respect me? Mm-hmm. You don't love me?
Mm-hmm.
Because deep inside, they don't respect themselves.
Ah.
You know? So whatever the girl say, the boy feel like, you don't respect me, right? Mm-hmm. You say so. It's actually, it's also the same with some couple, married couple.
Wow.
Yeah. So that is also kind of very toxic relationship because mm-hmm. when we in the relationship with the one person, when they got hurt
yeah.
or when they have low self-esteem,
yeah.
Even they have some trauma or something like that, more serious
yes.
in their life, then very high possibility mm-hmm. that you are in the toxic relationship.
Mm.
So the healthy relationship is opposite. If you are in a relationship with a healthy person,
mm-hmm.
Well-being, mm-hmm. okay, they know how to take care of themselves mm-hmm. or how to take care of their emotion,
mm-hmm.
and they know how to express in a kind way,
mm-hmm.
and talking and then find a good solution for two ways,
mm-hmm.
In a fair way and kind way.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is important. Or higher level than that, I would talk about they need to have the empathy.
Mm.
They need to have compassion
mm.
for themselves and for their lover.
I see.
Or the person in the relationship.
I see. Yeah. And I think that would apply to any kind of relationships.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. Even lover, friendship, family, or even like in business and leadership in general.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes, for sure.
How, like, I'm sure that there are relationships between employers and employee or manager and then their staff that is also considered as toxic relationship, right?
Yes, yes, a lot.
Yeah.
A lot.
And do you notice that Vietnam had kind of like a culture of yelling at their staff?
Yes, yes.
And that
yes.
is that's a bad thing, right?
Yes, mm-hmm. that is a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
That shows that you cannot control your emotion, and worse than that, you cannot control your behavior.
I see. But you see? What if it's just like so frustrations?
Yes, when you are so frustration with. Okay, frustrated.
Yeah.
What you can do, coming back to the very basic lesson,
uh-huh.
okay, you breathe,
mm.
you stop action, and observe yourself.
Mm.
Looking in yourself to see what is happening inside you.
Mm-hmm.
That might be a storm of anger.
Yeah.
Maybe equivalent to storm number 9 today, yeah. right? A very strong storm,
yeah.
storm, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then look at that and breathe.
Mm. And aware of it.
And aware of mm-hmm. it. Look at it kindly,
yeah.
softly. No need to criticize yourself that, mm-hmm. hey, why you are angry?
Mm. Mm-hmm.
You see?
Yeah.
So you even put down all of that voice of criticize.
Mm-hmm.
If the voice appears, okay, yeah. you just observe it. So just know that that voice appears,
mm-hmm.
the voice of criticize.
Yeah.
And just observe everything. Observe your body.
Mm-hmm.
What happening in your body? Maybe
yeah.
that time it like this already.
Yeah.
The face turned red, uh-huh. and then you are so ready.
Yeah,
a lot of energy to take action. Right that
yes.
time, right. Mm-hmm. So observe all of that,
mm-hmm.
and notice. You can call it by name, mm-hmm. noting it.
Mm-hmm.
That is the tactic, the tips that you learn already in SIY.
Like naming the
yes,
the
naming
attitude?
Yeah, yeah the mm-hmm. the emotion,
mm-hmm.
the feelings, all the urging that I have to do this or I have to do that,
yeah.
something like that.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I feel like it's hard, right? It's hard. It's kind of hard for
because from taking from my own experience, when you're in kind of that zone, like, why this is not going well, you kind of feel like it's my, I feel like it's kind of like my fault that they cannot do this. And then because of my own frustration to myself, I'm kind of like, why didn't you able to do this? I've been teaching you, I've been telling you, I've been coaching you, I've been training you for so many months, so long. And then you come back to me with such a basic question.
Okay.
And that kind of frustrations is yeah, sometimes I can't help it. And then what is, yeah, I understand that, yeah, I will aware of it. But then how do reframe myself from actually release it out?
Yes,
I think that's the hardest part.
I understand. I understand all the pressure of all the leaders, right? Because to be leaders is not easy at all.
Yeah.
Right? In one organization, you have a lot of responsibilities, mm-hmm. and
the pressures you have, the pressure, the yes. respect. Yes. In the control. So then if you're a manager or something, you're not like the founder, the owner, but you're put in the position of manager and you're new in the organization, then you have to prove yourself somehow.
Yes. So actually all of that, you must be aware of yourself as well. Mm. You must be aware at the beginning that, okay, you have tendency to be under pressure easily. Mm. Because you are in a new position with a new responsibility, with a lot of challenges, so and so on. And you also come back to the question you just mentioned. Okay, if you already put a lot of effort to train your staff, and then the staff come back with a very basic,
I would say, dumb question.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or you can say dumb question.
Yeah.
That time you notice that, okay, I use the word dumb question.
Uh-huh.
The anger is coming up.
Yeah.
The storm already coming up.
Uh-huh.
Just look at that. Sometime, up to some point, you may laugh at yourself. But at the beginning, maybe you are not used with the process. You may look at that and the tendency is very strong. It still urge you to do something, to react something, to say something. The most simple way, maybe you may shout aloud, how can you do that?
Yeah.
Right? Maybe that is
how can you ask such a dumb question?
nicest question you can do.
Yeah.
But we also can tell ourselves, okay, what is the most important now to me? What is the most important now? I shout at them, and then they will scare and they will shut up the mouth and then stare at me like this, you know? or I can do, or what do I need now, and what does that person need now? Maybe they need a guy, maybe they really don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they don't focus when you teach them.
Mm.
Or a lot of things, but once you put that question, your prefrontal cortex have to work. It has to work to get the answer.
Uh-huh.
So at the same time, your emotion might go down a bit.
Yeah,
okay. I say might go down because some that tendency is so strong.
Yeah,
so it cannot go down immediately.
Mm-hmm.
But in most of the cases, then once you are busy thinking, hey, what is the most important now?
Yeah.
Okay. I have to submit the report within another 2 hours.
Yeah.
So what should I do within these 2 hours?
Mm-hmm.
Then your mind would focus to solve the problem rather than to create one fighting with your staff.
Yeah.
Just something like that.
Yeah. Okay.
You think it can help?
Maybe. I hope so. Well, because I'm lucky to get in, like, to learn about SIY, so you know, your seven awareness. For past few days, I do kind of aware that when I'm got angry, I would try to tame it for like maybe a half a second. Like, I'm aware of it. I'm like, okay, I should calm down. And I do feel like my anger is kind of cooled down, but it's still, like, instead of like, for example, 100%, it's now like around 50%. It's still there. Like, I can still hear my voice kind of annoyed. And is that okay?
Yeah, I think that is the first step, you know, achievement. You have to celebrate the achievement in every step, you know.
Yeah.
Because this one is not easy.
Mm-hmm.
It's not easy. You have been through the old habit and the old ways of thinking, the old beliefs for more than 20 years.
Yeah.
And now in a certain, you learn 2 days to search inside yourself and you say that all the new knowledge, all the new belief would...
come to me instantly.
Yeah, would delete all the old beliefs. That one is impossible.
Okay.
It's impossible.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing you can do is that you keep on using that belief, using that behavior, and gradually it would build a new habit.
Mm.
You see?
Yeah.
So once it becomes the habit, then you have the two habits.
Okay.
The angry easily habit, mm-hmm, and calm down habit. But it doesn't mean that you will 100% calm down all the time.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's up and down. It depends on the situation.
Mm-hmm.
In some situation, you still get angry easily,
mm-hmm,
especially with those you love,
mm,
with the one who close to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know this,
yeah,
or not?
Right? You're less patient.
Yes.
Yeah.
You see, where, so you may start with outsider,
uh-huh,
and then you can give them kindness easily.
Mm-hmm.
But with the people close to you, normally more difficult.
Yeah.
Then practice it all the time. So this one, once you don't use it for a while, it, uh-huh, will be weaker and weaker.
Uh-huh.
The same like the two wolves,
uh-huh,
the black wolf and the white wolf.
Yeah.
You know the story?
Yes, I know the story.
Yes, so inside us, there are two wolves, mm-hmm, right?
Yes. So the black, sorry, the audience, so the black wolf and the white wolf is where the, mm, black is representing like your dark thoughts, and then the white, mm, one is your bright, innocent, or your happy thought, right? And is so basically, the theory is that you have two wolves always inside yourself.
Yes.
And it's your choice to let which wolf lead you in the situations.
I prefer to re-sentence at the limit. Is your right to feed which wolf?
Ah, okay.
You give the food to the white wolf, it will be healthy,
mm-hmm,
and stronger and bigger every
okay
day.
Mm-hmm.
And you let the black wolf starve 1 week, 2 weeks, it cannot talk anymore.
Yeah.
Okay? And the voice will be less and less and less. That's it.
Yeah.
That's the way.
Mm-hmm. Was there any kind of success stories, like from your teacher or from you personally applying those the theory of the black and the white wolf?
My husband. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Previously, long time ago, actually, maybe 10 years ago, before that time.
Okay, that's a long time.
Yeah, long time ago. Whenever he comes back home late, in my head, a lot of voices, you know. a lot. And then the black wolf, you know, keep on shouting
uh-huh
in my mind.
Yeah.
Where's he going? And why this time he still cannot come home? He doesn't know that I'm home. I'm so worried,
mm-hmm,
for him.
Yeah.
Actually, what I'm worried is just the accident. Uh-huh. I know him so well.
Yeah.
So I'm not afraid of any bad thing, uh-huh, he's doing outside. But
yeah,
accident, because he is a foreigner, you know.
Uh-huh.
And communication with the in Vietnamese is not 100% like our people. You know?
Yeah.
So I'm so worried every time he comes home late.
Mm-hmm.
So I keep on calling him.
Uh-huh.
Where are you now? When you come home now? 1 o'clock already, my dear. And he said, okay, he will go home right now.
Yeah.
And 1 hour later, not arrive home. I call again. I cannot sleep. I'm waiting for you.
Uh-huh.
Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? Deep inside, there are many fear inside me that push me. Fear and worry,
mm-hmm,
anxiety, mm-hmm, all of that, you know, keep on going up and up, you know. And actually, after I practice meditation, my emotion is more, I think, easy to be at a stable stage.
Mm.
I don't mean to use the word I control it, because it is not an act that you subjectively control it to make it become calming stage.
Okay.
But I mean that it's a quite organic stage.
Okay.
It's natural stage that once the more you practice, you look at the things in a way that more open and more more accepting with kindness.
Yeah.
You know. So now if he have to, he has an appointment and he say, okay, he goes to that group. I know. Maybe 2 a.m. So I say, so I will not wait for you. I will go to bed at 10. And then when you go, you bring along the keys and then you open the door yourself. Blah, blah, blah. That's it.
Yeah.
And I go to bed peacefully without waiting or without making any calls that hurt me and annoying him.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think the habit will be created in that way.
Okay. So how do you get involved in this work? So can you tell me more about MLY, and then what specific works that MLY is currently doing?
For SIY, actually, I happen to know the course to train the teacher of SIY when I were in London. That time, that is a time that I sit down and I wrote something. I wrote my retirement plan. yes, I have a look at what I will be in the next 5 years.
Yeah,
and I wrote a lot of things. And I love teaching. I love teaching. Then when I work in SCG, I've been trainers for many years, more than 10 years. And the topics that I love teaching the most are emotional intelligence, DISC, and sustainable development. Some related to the, like, even the how to make this world can grow in a sustainable way, you know.
I
so
see.
That is what I love. And actually, last 10 years, I started learning about meditation. And the more I learn, the more I see the very strong relationship between meditation and emotional intelligence. You know, emotional intelligence, the two key or the two core competencies are self-awareness and self-management. Okay. And you're aware of what makes you yourself today.
Yeah.
You're aware of your strengths, your weakness. You're aware of your emotion. And you can assess yourself accurately, something like that. And then you can transform. Okay, so that is the basic competencies of emotional intelligence. And meditation is just have you to reveal the world of yourself every day. Because as I mentioned, it mainly focus on awareness. Focus on seeing what is happening in your body and in your mind and the way you interact with the world outside. So that is the thing. It also means that self-awareness and self-management in some way. Because once you see it, somewhat it would be transformed by itself. I can say that in the organic way. You don't need to put a lot of effort and all with the KPI. Okay, I have to change this habit, that habit.
Yeah.
But the more you see yourself, the more you are changed.
I see.
Yeah. So you see, when I see this correlation between meditation and emotional intelligence, I find so excited. And I put in my teaching in some way. However, I didn't have the capability to do a lot of research or related the neuroscience or the
scientific
research, you know. So that day when I wrote about my plan, life plan, 5 years, and
what was it? What are you wrote?
Lots of things. I just say, okay, put down many things, stop working. That time, I planned stop working early.
I see.
Yeah, stop early and then focus. Spend more time to enjoy my life, take care of myself, take care of the family, of the kids. And then sometime teaching, sharing, coaching.
Mm.
Yeah, something like that. And I don't know. I can't remember the time. Maybe sometime within that day.
Yeah.
I just browse on the Facebook,
mm-hmm.
and I see one news feed of mm-hmm. my old boss. Mm-hmm. She is Thai, and then she talk about SIY teacher training.
Mm.
And I read it and said, "Wow, this is what I have thought before, what I have experienced before, but I could not put everything in a systematic way like this."
Mm-hmm.
It's so fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And I opened a lot of website of SIY and to read and then to see and say, oh, this is what I need.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a tool. Mm-hmm. It's just a tool to combine emotional intelligence, meditation, and bring it into the real life.
Mm.
In a very useful way.
Yeah.
And it helped us happy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that since that I make a plan when to learn, and my 5 years plan become a little bit different, you know.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, in which I include 2 years learning, practicing, teaching, SIY and so on. Yeah. So that is the way I know about SIY.
Mm-hmm.
And
how about MLI, Mindful Living Institute, which is your institution's on awareness in general, right? So SIY is the course for that created by Google.
Yes.
And then
yes.
You apply and you start become the trainer, one of the few trainers in Vietnam for that specific course. But I understand that MLI also has other courses for different demographic.
Yeah. It's very interesting, you know, because when I started teaching, learning SIY, and I had a lot of questions in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
How to make it well known in Vietnam? How to bring this to the youth? Because I believe that the youth really need emotional intelligence.
Mm.
The youth really need to understand themselves. And for SIY, it's it's designed quite heavily for the leaders, for enterprises, because it's a
enterprise course.
Yes, yeah. Of course, because it's created right in the heart of the Google, you know, and to serve at first at the level of management. So it's quite typical for mm-hmm. leaders. After teaching SIY for a while, you know, I've got the inspiration to bring emotional intelligence and mindfulness practice to many other people, you know.
Mm.
I just would like to bring it to more families in Vietnam.
Yeah.
Because you see, families is just the cell of the society
mm-hmm.
and of the world.
Yeah.
Once we have one happy society, once we have the happy family, we have happy society
mm-hmm.
and happy world.
Mm-hmm.
And the purpose of Search Inside Yourself, you know, at the end, he would like to make the world happier.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm thinking how to make it closer to the youth. And this one, I also talked my idea with my friend. He's also a certified teacher, you know, Anh Thọ.
Yeah.
And I asked him about this. You want to do anything for Vietnam, mm-hmm. okay, for the society of Vietnam. Mm-hmm. And we think of, I'm thinking of a journey. Mm-hmm. We don't learn emotional intelligence and mindfulness just for using in the office.
Yes.
In the workplace. Mm-hmm. But we live with it. Mm-hmm. We live with it. We live with all the relationship.
Yeah.
And we live since we just born, is it right? Mm-hmm. That's why we draw out a journey to live with awareness, mm-hmm. to live with mindfulness.
Yes.
Starting from the youth mm-hmm. and to until we marriage, and then we have the children mm-hmm. and play the role of the parents.
Yeah.
Very heavy responsibility.
Yes.
That's why we create called that mindful parenting. Mm. And for the youth, we have mindful youth. Mm. We believe that in a family, if the children and parents all live with mindfulness, they can get connected closely, and they can bring love, bring compassion, understanding into the families, and then the family would be happy, and all the members in the family would be happy. Mm-hmm. And there's the research also proved that if the parents apply the mindful parenting in their families, they can help disrupt all the loops, all the negative loops. Mm. That transfer from generations to generation. You know, so that is a very important, because yeah. most of us, we have been influenced mm-hmm. by our
parents,
grandparents, grandparents, yeah. right? So if there is a tune to disrupt any negative mm-hmm. Influences, I believe that will be a very good sign.
Break the cycle of, I don't know, toxic or abuse or
yes.
or not listening, because I feel like in Vietnam specifically, even though our culture is very family oriented, but
right.
our family oriented way is like we're the parents, you have to listen to it, and we know best for you, and the children doesn't have a lot of say within the family.
It's right, mm-hmm. it's right, it's true. This very natural in Vietnamese and Asian country as well, you know.
Yes.
So we understand that, doesn't mean that we criticize it, mm-hmm. but we understand, and then we are aware of it by down to the root, mm-hmm. and we break the cycle.
Yes.
Yeah. And once we have the happy family, we go to the workplace, we can be the happy employee. Mm. We can be happy leaders. Mm-hmm. Happy leaders will make happy workplace.
Yes.
Okay, mm-hmm. and make the others happy leaders. Mm-hmm. Leader is to create the another leaders.
Yes.
Right? So, and after a while, we contribute the whole of our youth age to the companies. Mm-hmm. We retire.
Yeah.
We would go to another journey of the aging. Mm-hmm. And I believe that that is very special time in the human lives. Mm. Right, mm-hmm. so that is a time that you have the right to enjoy the life,
yeah,
in the best way. Mm-hmm. But in contrary, many people, particularly in Vietnam, they enter the old age with what? More responsibility, and then more anxiety, or more how to say regret that I have not done this, I have not done that, and so on. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why we also create a program called that Hoàng Hôn Rực Rỡ. Yeah, that one is mainly to help people to have a mindful aging. Mm-hmm. They enter the old age with happiness, with satisfaction, with a feeling that, okay, I have fulfilled everything. Mm-hmm. But in order to do that, the best way is they know how to live with mindfulness since they were young.
Mm.
Yeah.
So
that is a whole journey. That's why we I gather some close friends, psychologists, and SIY certified teachers, and experts, trainers, and we create one. We founded one company called the Mindful Living Institute.
I see.
Yeah, mainly to encourage people to live a life with mindfulness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Since they are young, so they have the very meaningful youth.
Mm-hmm.
And then until they get married, we have mindful couple.
Mm-hmm.
And so to assure that we are well prepared when we enter a couple life,
mm-hmm,
with full responsibility,
mm-hmm,
and with love, with compassion,
mm-hmm,
so that we can build up a very happy home. Yeah, so it's not just the house for people got in and out without any feelings.
I see.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And taking back to reconnecting, mm-hmm, with, for example, my personal example story is that my mom and I are not connected because, mm-hmm, of maybe the roof of how she is raised is different than mine, and because of that we have that generations gap where we can't really see eye to eye.
Right.
Then do you have any kind of advice, or how do I begin in the journey of reconnecting?
I think it would start from your intention first. Do you think that at the moment, okay, you think that you have the intention to reconnect?
I think so.
Yeah, because if you don't have the intention, then no commitment later on. But that two things are really crucial.
I would say whenever I get asked, if I'm able to see the future, what will I want to see? My answer has always been, I would like to see in the future if our relationship getting better.
Okay.
So I think behind my back, I always want it to happen. But so far, I don't really know or really ready to get a commitment, because there's time that I try. And then there's time that I found that she resists.
Okay.
Yeah. And then it's discouraged me. And then I'm like, okay, whatever. I don't really want to try anymore.
Okay. So what have you tried to do?
I've tried to... So I remember this specific story where I was like 4, 12, 13. I was like 13. And then we had a fight or something. I don't remember. But I decided to do something different. Before that, I was just like fight, and then things just dissolve. Like we don't resolve in like, hey, I'm sorry and stuff, but we just like, okay, we just let it go and then we just move on. But that one time I decided I wrote a letter to her.
Mm-hmm.
And in that specific letter, I tried to be as open and vulnerable.
Okay.
And like one thing I specifically say is, hey, I wish that our relationship could be like the one I see with my friends, with their moms. So hopefully this letter will, you know, show you that I'm intending to connect with you or to connect with you.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, she took it not very good. She specifically for that sentence of like, oh, like you envy other people's relationship. Why? Like, why is our relationship not good? And she took it at heart. And yeah, it was really discouraging for me because, mm-hmm, and then afterward that, I don't think I've ever tried more.
Mm-hmm. I see. I assume I myself in her position receiving your letter, okay, and hear the words from my daughter, okay. My friend is very happy with her mother, but I am not.
Mm.
Okay, she interprets it in that way.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, you see, my friend is very happy. It means that her mother gave her happiness, and you don't give me happiness.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think she will interpret that way or not?
I think that's what she did.
Yes, you see.
But then it makes me...
So any message, you know, when we send to the others or we receive from someone else, normally it would be interpreted in some way very, very strange, very strange. That's why we must be very careful when we deliver any message, particularly when we are disconnected, because the way we disconnected, so every interpretation, you know, might cause any negative impact. Yeah.
But then how do you try be vulnerable again? Because for me, I understand that the way I say things would that persevere and that situation has made her interpret it wrong. But then for me, it's hard to open up again and try it again.
I see.
Because I would afraid that it will continue in that path.
I see. I understand you have the intention to reconnect. You have the, you also put effort to do that once. And sounds like you fail. you think it's fail. I think that she might keep in her mind, but in some way, she also understand both. But what trigger her the most is the negative voice.
Mm-hmm.
She might feel your feeling as well.
Yeah.
But because a trigger is so strong, that's why it pull her to that direction. Now, if you really want to reconnect, maybe we go slowly.
Mm-hmm.
Can we go step by step?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you still have the courage to go on?
I hope so.
Uh-huh. Okay. Imagine that if you can do successfully, okay, what it would be? Your life.
Successful would be we can hang out, we can have dinner, we can laugh together. I can openly be a kid or you know, make jokes, and we can enjoy each other's company.
I see. That's good. That sounds very bright picture. Huh? Yeah. And so that would give you the
motivation.
The motivation.
Yeah.
To move on, right? Yeah.
It's feel like a dream. So it's kind of hard because it's like, yeah, you can have the vision, but then the step to going there is very challenging, and then there's different obstacle, right? Because is it possible for a relationship to become better when one person is practicing awareness and the other is not?
Yes. I witnessed that with my whole life because I meditate and my husband doesn't.
Mm.
And along the way, I noticed that he has many things changed as well.
I see.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe that once I change, the world changed. Okay. But no need to expect that the world must change because I changed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Don't put that expectation. But that is, I believe, that the law of nature.
Mm.
Yeah. So believe on that.
Mm-hmm.
Believe on that. And so now you say that the relationship is like that. How often you see her?
Like once or twice a month.
Okay. So you don't stay in the same house?
No.
Okay. And
particularly I would say that that makes my relationship better because we're not staying together. For right now in the state of relationship, then spending too much time together can easily trigger things.
Right.
Where if we only see each other a little bit less, then whenever we see each other, we try not to, you know, trigger each other off.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And now she's who she is living with?
She's living with her partner.
Uh-huh.
Which is not my father, but yeah. Yeah.
You stay with your father?
Yes.
Okay, and she has any other children?
Yes, she has my siblings. My sibling, but now my sibling is staying with my dad too. So we only see her in the weekends.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is a blood sibling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yeah,
so yeah. Two of you?
Three of us.
Three of you stay with your father?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, for okay. logistic reason. Before it was her staying with her, and then I stay with him in the weekend. But then now, because she moved quite far away, so they staying with my dad because it's closer to the school. And then on the weekend, we would go back and visit.
I see. Where is it?
Bình Thạnh.
Oh, in Bình Thạnh. I see.
And we live in D5. Like the school is in D5, and then from my dad's place to the school is like 5 minutes, and then from there it's like 30 minutes. So it just make more sense for them to stay over here.
Mm. And how about your brother, sisters? They still studying in
yes,
school?
Yes, they are 10 and 13. Mm. 10 and 13.
10 and 13. Mm-hmm. How the relationship between them and your mother?
My sister can handle her better than I do. She's the middle child, so she know how to kind of like mitigate and just handle everybody, like be the middleman. My brother is kind of like the youngest one, so he just like he's in his rebel stage where he's just like whatever and he doesn't care about anything and that. But the difference between my relationship with my mom and them is that, like on the dining table, they could have casual conversation. Mm. Where for me and my mom, we don't really have that.
Mm.
It's like how's your day? How's things like that? For them, is they can do that. They can start the topic. They can talk to her. They can. Yeah, they can just share how they feeling, and et cetera. And even if she just start lecture, then their reaction was like, "Huh, okay, sure," and then things go move on. And for me, if that is the scenario, then we would start having a fight. That's the difference.
And what make you hardly find a smooth conversation?
It's more, it's like when you disagree, you see the difference more. Mm-hmm. So, Bolt and I, her kind of, our relationship is always like picking out our difference and address that. Mm-hmm. And because it's the difference, the other opinion is never like valid.
I see. Can you recall any feelings when you meet her and with the very normal conversation?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What kind of feeling?
What kind of feeling when that
yes,
conversation
just a
happened?
Normal conversation first.
Yeah.
No conflict.
Uh-huh. I would come out and whoa, we didn't fight.
Sorry?
I when I get out of that conversation, I will be like, oh, we didn't fight. That's my recognition.
We didn't fight.
Yeah.
Means that like you are ready for a fight, and after that no fight, you say, "Oh, lucky that we have no fight."
Yes,
is it right?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So even when you have the very normal conversation, you are in the position that
I'm in the defense mode.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? And can you recall any emotion that when you are fighting?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What is that?
It's just frustrations that how we don't see eye to eye, or how she doesn't understand me.
She doesn't understand. Okay, she feel like she doesn't understand, and that what is that feeling? Disappointed, or angry, or resent, or
I would say disappointment.
Disappointed. You expect that she understands you more.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the feeling of disappointment, the feeling of an animal need to be self-defend seems that it's quite strong in you,
mm-hmm.
right? It's quite mm-hmm. strong in you. Can you recall any time that you have very relaxed moment with her?
Like just by ourselves or with other people?
Yeah, by yourself.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how is it?
It was when my like last year when she had cancer, she had breast cancer, and that when she has her surgery and procedure, and that was the time where I moved back. So before that, we haven't lived with each other for like 5 years. So we moved back. I moved back there, and it's just two of us, right? So we just have dinner, and then sometimes she has her scar that she need to put oil on, and I would help her in that. And we just, you know, I just help her treat her, and then yeah, that kind of like relax, kind of what we're like, hey, you want to see a movie together or something like that?
Yeah, you think that she feel the love from her you?
I hope so.
yeah. I think all the old memories has triggers a lot of feelings in you. To start, I think we can spend time. You can spend time to observe more any feeling, any emotion.
Observe like.
Observe means that just be aware of what's happening inside you. Whenever you talk about her, even right at this moment when you talk about her, you also have very strong feelings. You see, just observe it. Okay. Take a breath and observe it and see what it is. Okay, because mainly it would be caused by all the old experiences you have had so far,
mm-hmm.
right? Just notice it and accept it as they are, okay? That is the very first step.
Mm-hmm.
Besides, as I just talked before, we would create the new memories, the new beliefs, the new habits.
Yeah.
Then I think you can spend time to visit her,
mm-hmm.
to visit her, and then with the very clear intention, just come to understand her.
Mm.
To understand her, maybe she will not bite you if you just sit and listen to her.
So I would put it like this, if it's correct. So instead of whenever I hear, so the common reflections that usually my mind would create is, oh my gosh, she's doing it again.
Okay.
Then your advice is to, instead of doing that, instead of being like, oh, like judgment, right? Criticize, like, she's doing it again. Why? So instead of that, we'd be like, oh, okay. Well, she's doing it. Like, I'm curious why she's doing it. Maybe there's a reason behind it.
Maybe you can give some feedback or not. If you think that you are going to give one criticized word, maybe you just stop it and just ask yourself, hey, what is the most important now? Mm. What should I say? Or I talk another topic.
Mm.
I move to another topic so that we can cut this hard moment here or something like that to see. And it totally depends on you that time. Yeah. But the point is that you see what you feel inside.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can't, I don't know, maybe it depends on her readiness. Sometimes you can tell her what you feel, but it also depends up to certain level.
Yeah.
And then you tell, oh, you say like this, I feel this word make me feel like, you don't love me, for instance. But that is up to a level of safe enough between the two persons. Mm-hmm. So you express the feeling, then people know that her words make you feel like that. But if not close enough or not safe enough, they interpret in another way, it might cause a conflict again. So she is not ready, mm-hmm. should not say anything.
Mm.
It means if you see that she's going to be triggered or she already got triggered and raised a voice and talk something like that,
mm-hmm.
and you just say, oh, I don't mean that, nah, I don't mean that. So we talk about another, okay, eat. Or you eat and mm-hmm. then this good or not, the beef is good or not, the steak mm-hmm. is good or not, something like that.
Yeah.
And make joke.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Learn to make joke.
Okay.
Yeah, that is also I feel all of that because it's quite close to my story with my mother.
Mm. Yeah.
She can be triggered easily mm-hmm. and without any reason, and I feel so shocked why she got triggered like that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And I just, okay, I don't mean so. I just remind you to take the medicine just for your own sake. That's it. I don't mean anything. I don't mean that you lose your mind already. You're crazy. I don't mean so.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it. And stop the story and then move to another conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
And try to make some reason for a fun meeting, for a funny meeting, possible. Like, okay, celebrate something for your brother, your sister, or something like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we try to get a very good topic to talk about.
Yeah.
And try to understand her more.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you have some deep conversation with her
mm-hmm.
to understand, maybe you show the empathy to her, she will feel that you are at her side.
Mm.
I'm not so sure she might feel like she lost you because you go to your father or not.
Mm-hmm.
And that is also one bad feeling. I'm not so sure.
Mm-hmm.
You think, is it possible that she feel that way?
Possibility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes. Because they are not together,
mm-hmm.
so the way that you live with the father, normally the mother would interpret in many ways. And then you become enemy.
Yeah.
Right? You become his side.
Yes.
Right? Not his, her side.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And how to make her feel that, okay, you and her, we are lady. We understand the pain of a lady. We understand how a lady have to suffer
mm-hmm.
that cannot live together with the children
mm-hmm.
and have to separate the husband. And you know the story more.
Yeah.
Actually, if in the reality, I can dig deeper.
Yeah.
Yeah. So understand more and then just give you the
direction.
The direction clearly. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that it's suitable here.
Yeah, it's
but,
okay.
But you see, maybe in this situation, try to be in her side. Mm. Try to be in her side, okay? Mm-hmm. And if you have to talk about him, just neutral. Mm-hmm. Don't say, if that will talk different, mom, how can you say so? Okay, you will trigger her anger immediately,
yeah.
Isn't it? Right?
Yes.
So that is the way that you have to be very careful to be with her and try to understand what can make her smile. If you notice, you will see some words you can make her smile. Mm-hmm. So what is that? Mm. What is that? The woman, they also need the warmth, the care of the daughter. Normally, mother and daughter is very close. Mm. And why you cannot? What makes we are disconnected? Of course, that you don't need to ask her, but you observe first, and you observe from yourself. Mm. Because all the reaction and all the defense mechanism in you would prevent you to open up. Is it right?
Yeah.
So when you are close to her, what you do is to protect yourself, mm-hmm. not to be hurt again. Mm. So you cannot think of anything. And now you give the compassion to her. Give the compassion to her, okay? No matter what she does, you believe that there is a root beneath mm-hmm. that you don't understand.
Yes.
So you can ask her, mom, why mom interpret in that way? Mm-hmm. Why this word of mine make you think this way, and then you are triggered, and then you react this way? Mm. Ask in the way that you really want to understand her.
Yeah.
Not a policeman.
Yeah, no, like, why you think like that? That's not how I'm trying to say. Yeah.
But just, I really would wish that I could understand you more, mom, mm. because we are mother and daughter. I love you. If you can tell her that, I believe that she can break up all. I think she's the same mechanism like you.
Yeah, we are both in defense mode.
Yeah, all both of you in the defense mode. So how to break up that point? Mm-hmm. From your side, you learn how to meditate.
Yes.
And then you can come with her with that attitude.
Yes.
That okay, calm and ready to be with mom and to understand her more. The first thing.
Yes.
Just that.
Yeah, and I think that would be a doable first step.
Uh-huh.
And I think we also could wrap up the episode here right now. Mm-hmm, hopefully mm-hmm. we can do another follow-up one
where we
can elaborate more on this. But thank you for your questions and your perspective, because it would help me a lot in try to see in her own sigh or put myself in her own shoes to see what are our similarity and to unsee what we're seeing right now, which is all the difference that we have.
Yes.
And thank you a lot for coming here on
You're
this
welcome.
Episode.
You're
I
welcome.
Hope you enjoy it. Sorry that I cry so much.
That's okay. I think that is something very honest from you. Mm-hmm. I think human beings, all of us, suffer from something. Mm. And mainly just because we don't see the truth. Once we see the truth, maybe the suffering can turn to be compassion, can turn to be love.
Yes.
And can turn to be forgiving, accepting. Mm-hmm. And happiness.
Yeah, and the world absolutely would need a little bit more love anywhere. So for those who interested in MLI work and to follow you or to learn more about your work, how do they find you?
I think we have the they can go to the website of Mindful Living, mli.edu.vn.
Uh-huh.
Or they can go straight to the Facebook, the fan page, full name, Mindful Living Institute.
Mindful Living Institute from Vietnam.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if they concern more about the OH, they can go to Hoàng Hôn Rực Rỡ.
Okay. We will put the links of all that in the episode.
If they are parents and would like to learn more about how to become a mindful parent, sharing many stories of parenting, they can go to Nuôi Dạy Con Tỉnh Thức.
So you can rebrand this relationship between me and my mom.
You
just prevent it from the beginning.
I think those things.
Okay, thank you again for coming. And yes, again, we will put all the links of all the courses or the options for anyone who is interested in learning about mindfulness and also learning about MLI. If you like the episode, you can let us know as well, or let Miss Ng know as well. We would love to hear what your thoughts on it. Go to our social medias, Vietnam Rising Podcast, or our email with the same handles at gmail.com. If you're listening on iTunes, please rate us. We would love to have that as well. And yes, again, thank you for tuning in on this episode, and thank you for being there, seeing this another side of myself that I didn't think that it will come out today, but yeah. You know, I have this this goal in mind that I would make one of my guests cry, but then guess what? I have to cry. I'm the one who cried first. But anyway, it's been such a pleasure and such eye-opening just to go through that. Thank you again. And thank you, guys, for tuning in. And I'll see you guys in the next episode of Vietnam Rising. Goodbye.
Yeah, thank you. Bye-bye.